looking at the concept of involution. What's that? And looking at it in a few different contexts. First context is just the definition of involution in terms of the philosophical meaning. Has scientific meanings which are different than the philosophical meaning. Involution occurs when a process or object is ontologically turned in upon itself. So we're turning within on itself, is the idea. In the Yoga Sutras, the word that the Sanskrit word for involution is pratiprasava, which is defined as counterflow. In classical yoga, the involution of the primary constituents of nature. Oh, in our terminology, that would mean the tattvas. Going backwards through the tattvas. Prasava signifies the streaming forth of the ultimate building blocks of nature into the multiple forms of the universe in all its dimensions. Pratiprasava, on the other hand, denotes the process of dissolution of those forms relative to the microcosm of the adept who is about to win liberation, Kaivalya. In classical yoga, which subscribes to the ideal disembodied liberation, Videha Mukti, this coincides with the psychophysical death of the individual. That doesn't sound good, right? I need to say that another way. But it means the dropping off of those sheaths, the physical sheath and the mental sheath, and just being the inner sheath that's within the mental and the physical. That would be a more positive way to say it. So this word appears a number of times in the Yoga Sutras, but the one I'm quoting is the last verse, which is talking about Kaivalya, or liberation in the Yoga Sutras terminology. The involution of the gunas, which are now devoid of purpose for the Purusha, is what is called Kaivalya, or the establishment of the power of awareness in its essential nature. In other words, awareness isn't going to take on future mental or physical bodies. It's just there. So the Sanskrit words for that are very interesting. Establishment is pratishta, just like prana pratishta. The murti gets prana pratishta, same word, establishment. Power of awareness is chid shakti, and its essential nature is swarupa. Always very interesting terms. So if you read that part, it says, Kaivalyam swarupa pratishta va chitti shaktir iti. So it's defining Kaivalya. Very nice. And then my commentary. Oh, we should really add one more phrase to it. It's saying the gunas are devoid of purpose. So the gunas in this case means the world. Well, what is the purpose of the gunas? So that's what my commentary starts out with. The purpose of the gunas is twofold: to provide experience and finally liberation to the Purusha. It's Patanjali's concept. We're here on earth to gain experience and finally liberation. In Kaivalya, Prakriti, meaning the world, is permanently gone. Only Purusha exists, turned in on itself. I stated at the beginning of chapter 1, when mental activity is restrained, the soul's faculty that witnesses thoughts naturally turns in on itself. However, this is temporary and only lasts till thoughts again arise. Whereas in Kaivalya, the power of awareness is permanently established in itself, which is a permanent attainment. What started me on this was Yogi Swami. We published some of the translations of Yogi Swami's diaries in the back of the last Inner Search study guide, sharing them with everyone. And the notes were taken by Ma Navaratnam, and they're being rendered to us by Ma Navaratnam's niece, Jayanti. She was here recently. You may have met her, Jayanti. There's three nieces, daughters of Ma Navaratnam's sister that live in Toronto. So she is working on this project. Lots of interesting statements by Yoga Swami that had never been shared before, and we're working on getting them written up and shared. And I was reading this one. I was talking about a person. What he performs with his mental faculties are termed Odungal and Arulal. And Odungal is the Tamil word for involution. So, and Arulal is grace. The whole understanding is contained by the term involution, Odungal. It is unmanifested and has potential energy, and from it flows grace. It is a state of supreme silence, nirvikalpa samadhi, be still, suma iru. From this alone can emanate the fountain of grace. Everyone is seeking for this panacea only. Grace is vouchsafed to one and all, but it is only in the degree of grace enjoyed by each one and the measure of grace that each one seems different. It is for grace and still more grace that each one, no matter what creed he belongs to, should pray for and supplicate. It is the key to God realization and mukti. Grace flows out of his boundless love. By his grace, one worships his feet. And he comments on that. It is the same coin with the inverse or obverse side of the coin turned up or down. The obverse side is when man performs his act of grace, arulal, after the odungal involution state, in which he is God. Avane tane. Thou art thou. On the inverse side of the coin is the projection of God granting grace. It is self-realization and God-realization in one and the same act of grace. So this is a bit hard to understand, but needs to be smoothed out, but hopefully you get the idea that he's saying, he's basically making a statement of monistic theism. He's saying, this coin has two sides. One side is called monism, or the experience of Parashiva, and the other side is called theism, or the experience of grace. So, The grace comes out of the monism, the experience of Parashiva. That's what he's talking about. Very interesting statement of monistic theism. I'm sure if we looked at the original Talmud, we could polish it up a bit. And we have one more example of involution. Something we're more familiar with, the Shum language. Here we go. Involution in Shum. Well, we have a series of words. For anyone not familiar with this type of series, the series of words is Kashum, Nikashum, Shum Nikashum, Bishum Nikashum, I Bishum Nikashum, and Hi I Bishum Nikashum is the series. So it's taking a concept from the physical to the emotional, mental, and then on into the subsuperconscious and superconscious regions. So it's taking it through what we call the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions. Oh, it starts in the second dimension with a physical object, Kashyum, Guha, the cave-like chamber where Swamis, Yogis, and Sadhakas meditate, study, and sleep. So you've all seen our Guhas out there. Little block structures. Nikashyum, the art of withdrawing the energy into the spine through the use of pranayama, names the process of drawing the magnetic energy from the subtle nerve fibers, nadis, which surround the body into the spine. When a devotee enters meditation, the energy is drawn from the conscious mind into its subconscious. Then the energy of the subconscious is drawn into the superconscious. Then the energy of the subconscious is drawn into the subsuperconscious. When this happens, the devotee becomes conscious in the inner states of mind. Shum Nikashum. Feeling the psychic heat while withdrawing prana into the Ajna chakra. Bishum Nikashum. Withdrawing prana into the refined realms of the Sarasvara chakra through the use of pranayama, an advanced stage of pratyahara. I Bishum Nikashum. Withdrawing all odic prana into the actinic energy. Hi I Bishum Nikashum. Withdrawing the actinic prana into the self. The ultimate pratyahara. So, same idea as involution, working our way back from gross to subtle till we hit the unmanifest. Have a wonderful day.